We continue our Lenten, Holy Week, Easter sermon series, Encounters with Jesus, with a visit from Barabbas.
I want to thank you for inviting me to be with you this evening, this most holy of nights in Christendom. As you might imagine, I am not the most popular figure in the Christian church. You've all heard of me, even though I'm not mentioned that much among you. But I'm really important to the story. You see, he died because of me. Well, it's not exactly true, is it? He would have died anyway. They would have eventually gotten to him no matter what. He didn't die because of me. He died instead of me. He died in my place. My name is Barabbas. At least that's what you Christians call me. It's an odd name, isn't it? Barabbas. But Barabbas was just my surname. Barely any of you remember what my parents named me. Do you know what my first name was? It was just read a few moments ago. If you were paying attention, my name is Jesus. I am the other Jesus. People don't remember my name because it almost immediately, among the new followers of Christ, the Christians, they began to eliminate it from the written record. All four Gospels tell my story, but only Matthew bothers to tell anybody what my first name was. And even there, they tried to erase it from memory. I want to invite you to do something. Would you take out the Bibles that are in your pews for a moment? And I want you to turn to Matthew 27, verse 16. It's on page 33 in the New Testament portion of your Bible. Are you there? Matthew 27, 16, it says, "At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus, Barabbas." Do you notice that after the word Jesus there is a footnote, A? And if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, it reads, "Other ancient authorities lack Jesus." You can guess what happened, can't you? When the secretaries and scribes began copying the originals, they thought it would be best to leave out my first name. You can understand it, can't you? Why they left my name out? We were both convicted felons. The other Jesus, the one that you talk about, and myself. But the new Christians, they didn't want any confusion about which Jesus that they were talking about. It's best to put as much distance as possible between the Jesus who robbed and created chaos, and the Jesus who made the lame walk and the blind see. The coincidence of our common first name was just too embarrassing for the early Christians to handle, so it's all but forgotten that my name was Jesus also. It's Barabbas that they call me. Now I want you to know what my name means. I want to teach you about who I am. You see, my name means something, just like many names have meaning. If you take it apart, you probably have already heard what my name means, even though you may not realize what it means. It's a compound of two Aramaic words, bar, which means son of, as in bar mitzvah, and abbas, which means father. It's what Jesus called God. So my Aramaic name means son of a father. I realize that's pretty lame. It's a meaningless repetition. You can't be a son without having a father, can you? Every man is the son of a father, but it's not as meaningless as you might think. My name tells you a little bit about where I came from. I'm the son of a man who was so respected that they called him father. It's It's what they called particularly beloved rabbis in my day. You do it also, don't you? Good morning, Father, you say when you see the collar. After a few years, you forget the person's real name and you just refer to him as Father. You see, my father was a beloved rabbi. I was a preacher's kid. I had the best education that you could imagine. Well, what in the world happened to me that I would end up on a cross? Matthew calls me a notorious criminal. Mark and Luke call me an insurrectionist, a murderer. John calls me a highway robber. It's what I did with my life. It was my vocation. I was convinced that God had called me to everything in my power to wreak havoc upon the occupying Romans. I was what they called in my day a zealot, a patriot, a champion of the Jewish cause. I devoted my life to my land. I hated the Romans and how they belittled us under their tyranny, their soldiers and their taxes and their governors, and that idiot Pilate. He filled Palestine with such humiliation and hatred. I saw them tax my hard-working people to the brink of starvation. I saw them mock my father's faith. I saw them treat us like slaves, because that's what we were to them. And one day, this obedient child of the rabbi, I just snapped. I became what you would call a terrorist. Yeah, I started small. Started by picking pockets to fill the coffers of the synagogue so that starving children could get a scrap of food at the end of the day. I was Robin Hood robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. But it wasn't long before I graduated to ever-increasing, escalating violence. You know, I discovered that terrorism works. I'd band with other zealots. I'd mug travelers on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And as you can plainly see from your own experience, it's amazing what happens when you disrupt transportation. It throws people into panic. It kills commerce. It creates terror. And I was good at it. I was good at terrorizing. The economy can't function for long if people are afraid to travel from here to there. We zealots, we were intent on creating so much chaos that the Romans might give up, maybe go and deal with somebody else. Maybe there was some other complacent people that they would deal with. I was filled with zeal for God in Judea. I was a freedom fighter harassing a brutal alien power occupied our land and levied outlandish taxes against us and our unrepresented people. You know, as quenching as my hatred and my crimes proved to be for a while, life on the lam was not much fun in the end. I never loved a person, never fathered a child. I never owned a home. I slept wherever I could find a bed, in the mountains, behind roadside rocks, but never in the same place two nights in a row. It was an ironclad rule of the trade. I was always worried about getting caught. I always had to be on the move. You know, you can't go on forever living a life like that, and I always knew how it would end for me. I was almost grateful when the Romans finally caught up with me and sentenced me to death by crucifixion for a high treason among a laundry list of all other crimes. I was tired of running. The year was AD 27, just before Passover, when the Jews everywhere were celebrating their freedom from bondage. How's that for irony? Me in prison, the Jews still suffocating under Rome's rule, and all my Jewish brothers and sisters celebrating God's great liberation. What a joke. Back then, you only spent days on death row, not years. So I was busy preparing my soul to meet my Maker and my body to endure its inevitable tortures. Then early one Friday morning, before sunrise, another traitor to the empire, another Jesus, joined me in my death row cell. You know, we got to talking. We had a lot in common. Our name, our fear, our scourged and bloodied backs. I asked him, "What did you do to deserve death row?" He didn't answer. It was interesting. There was this thorn, this crown on his head. We were only there together for an hour or so before they dragged us through a jeering mob to Pilate's palace. And there we stood chained together before the Passover crowds. That idiot Pilate was always trying to weasel his way out of the tough decisions and tight corners. And he shushed the crowd. And he said to them, "You have a custom that at the Passover the governor would release one prisoner for you as a symbol of the Jewish liberation. Whom shall I free for you? Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus, whom you call Messiah? Which Jesus do you want?" Didn't give me much hope. Who on earth would choose Jesus Barabbas, the murderer and the thief, over Jesus the Messiah, the one who heals people? Who on earth would pick me to live? Imagine Pilate's surprise when the crowd starts yelling, "Give us Barabbas!" Imagine Pilate's surprise. Imagine mine. After a few minutes of vain wrangling with the crowd to get them to change their mind, Pilate orders his soldiers to unlock my chains and set me free, just like that. And off I go into the welcoming arms of the happy crowd, hailed as a national hero. Who on earth would choose Jesus the murderer over Jesus the healer? Don't be so surprised. Pilate shouldn't have been so surprised. I shouldn't have been so surprised. You know, nations and tribes, individuals, they're forever choosing the other Jesus over the real one. They're always opting for Jesus Barabbas over Jesus the Messiah. They're always choosing brute force over meek peace, violence over vulnerability, killing over dying. You know, people always choose the wrong Jesus. Look what happens to history's peacemakers. Jesus of Nazareth, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. Should I go on? And it's not just extremists who choose violence. It's not just always the terrorists. It's legitimate powers also. You know, I wonder, if you really lived then, would you have chosen Barabbas? Or would you have chosen the Messiah? I think you might. And mark my words, you will. How often do we turn the other cheek? How often do we go the second mile? How often do we touch the leper or embrace the unlovely or love our enemy? My God, it's hard enough to love members of our own family. I was there, you know. I was there at Golgotha. I was there on that day to watch him die instead of me. For 6 hours, I stood on the edge of that small crowd of women and mockers and soldiers. I watched the pain in his face. I watched his chest heave up and down against the weight of his body. I watched his blood drip to the ground. Can you imagine what it was like? Not for him. That's probably far too much for you to understand. Can you imagine what it was like for me? Can you put yourself in my skin for a moment? Can you imagine what it felt like to know that an innocent man died instead of you, that another died in your place? Have you ever let someone take the fall for you? Have you ever let someone go to hell for you? Can you imagine what it feels like to have a gentle, kind, innocent man die instead of you? Can you imagine? You know what? Maybe you and me, maybe we have more in common than we think. Maybe you can't imagine, because he died for you.